The following message is by Pastor Jason Drapeau, Senior Pastor of Winchester Community Church in West Seneca, New York. More information about Winchester Community Church can be found at www.wincc.org.
If you've been journeying with us these Sunday mornings through the Psalms, and if you're new or it's been a while since we've been together today, then I welcome you here in this present step along our journey. We have been on a stretch of Psalms these most recent weeks, divinely inspired by God, the divine author, God the Holy Spirit, penned for us by the human author, David. David was a man who lived thousands of years ago, thousands of miles away. So I realize that perhaps many of us might feel from time to time like we can't relate to what is being shared on these Sunday mornings or what we might read, especially with regard to the real historical biblical figure David. Pastor, I didn't grow up a shepherd. Fair enough. David did. We're far removed from his experiences and his writings. You don't know my rough upbringing, Rev. Or the bad things I've done. Ain't nobody calling me a man after God's own heart, like they called David. 1 Samuel 13:14. You might feel unworthy of that which we read. I'm not a king. I don't have mighty men serving at my disposal. I don't know what that's like. We might feel in a different position or place of relatability to what is being penned. I don't write well, Pastor. And if I did write poems like these Psalms, goodness knows none of them can hold a candle to how the writings are that made it into the Bible. We're all in a good place because I have written and my writings are far removed from God's writings. I don't have people, you might be thinking, like the prior king of the land pursuing me, trying to kill me. I've never had armies of nations who have hunted me down. I don't even know if any assailants or assassins know I exist in the world. It's actually not a bad place to be, you know what I'm saying, right? I'd just be reading about this David and all that he has to say, but quite frankly, Pastor, I just can't relate. Well, that's why I'm precisely excited for this psalm this morning, because perhaps if all other psalms of David have a little more difficult distance by which we might be near in understandability and in relatability, I feel as if this psalm this morning is universally applicable and relatable to everybody. P.S., I do believe any passage of Scripture is just as it says Scripture is, God-breathed and useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. I think even the most far distant historical and chronological and contextual perspective, I still think is very relatable to us, but especially this Sunday morning, I think, because as we look face value, we will see an item and an issue that this morning's scripture addresses, and that is words. Have your words ever gotten you in trouble? Have other people's words ever been troubling to you? This Psalm 64 that we will be reading this morning has everything to do with words. And as we read together, I invite you to see words as the topic and issue at play here in this scripture text. So I invite you this morning to please turn open or turn on a Bible, if you have one on a mobile device, and please read with me Psalm 64 today. If you're using these red Bibles like I'll be using today, if you don't have a Bible of your own, that's all right. We encourage you to get one, but specifically if you don't have one this morning, we invite you to read Psalm 64. It's in these red Bibles before you. It's on page 306. And I'd like for you to read with me as I read aloud this morning and specifically mention and look at the words of mention of words. The words of words. mentioned here today in Psalm 64. Psalm 64, again, page 306, begins like this. To the chief musician, a psalm of David. Hear my voice, O God, in my meditation. Preserve my life from fear of the enemy. Hide me from the secret plots of the wicked, from the rebellion of the workers of iniquity, who sharpen their tongue like a sword and bend their bows to shoot their arrows, bitter words. That they may shoot in secret at the blameless, suddenly they shoot at him and do not fear. They encourage themselves in an evil manner. They talk of laying snares secretly. They say, who will see them? They devise iniquities. Verse 6, we have perfected a shrewd scheme. Both the inward thought and the heart of man are deep. Now verse 7, but God shall shoot at them with an arrow. Suddenly they shall be wounded. So he will make them stumble over their own tongue. All who see them shall flee away. Verse 9, all men shall fear and shall declare the work of God, for they shall wisely consider his doing, God's doing. Verse 10, now the righteous shall be glad in the Lord and trust in him, and all the upright in heart shall glory. This is the word of the Lord. So this morning, using words from the words of the psalm, I'd like for you and I to begin seeing that words are a major and central matter in the scripture today. Just look with me at all the word synonyms in this scripture text. I tried to emphasize them when I was reading them to you. Verse says, hear my voice. And verse 2 says, the plots, as in things being planned that are by implication also being said. Verse 3, we see sharpen their tongue. And at the end of verse 3, there are bitter words. Down in verse 5, it says they talk and they say. In verse 6, they devise. And then it's quoted, their shrewd scheme, as if it's being spoken aloud. Further down in verse 8, when God now acts on behalf of the psalmist, it says, he, God, will make them stumble over their own tongue. All over the psalm, again and again, in the context and content, are the opponent's vicious words and God's consequence on them and our humble, patient reply as a result. Now, I mentioned those three things. Opponent's vicious words, God's being the one who levying consequence, and our humble and patient reply, that is how this psalm is laid out in terms of structure. I encourage you to sort of look now more broad strokes at the sort of the compilation of this psalm. There are a few sections. First and foremost, we see that David cries out to God with words about the difficulties he's encountering at the lips of others. We see that in verses 1 and 2. God is the audience. And David is saying, God, please help. There are those who speak so hurtfully. And second, David the psalmist writes of the difficulties he's facing from others' words, talking now about, not to God, but now about others, them, their words, their mouths, their lips, the things they say that are destructive and bitter and devastating and hurtful. We see that in verses 3 through 6. And then thirdly, the psalmist rests his recompense. He trusts his desire for their consequence to God, leaving it up to God and not taking the onus of payback on himself. Oh, don't worry. We'd be getting into more of that because that's an issue for us today. That is verses 7 through 8. Excuse me. So in other words, David is experiencing a lot of hurtful words. He's crying out to God. He's explaining what those hurtful words are. But then in verses 7 and 8, David does not try to get back with his own words at the meanies saying harshful words to him. David trusts that God would use God's own word in God's own way to bring about others' consequences for their mean words back upon themselves when they've spoken mean words to him. Finally, this psalm concludes with a collective or a congregational encouragement and exhortation for us now, so audience now is to us, to God about others resting in God's consequence, and now to us, to one another, for us to have reverence for God, live and walk obediently and uprightly in our words, trusting in him and not having us give in to the hurtful and bitter words of others. This concludes the psalm, verses 9 through 10. So cool. Bishop, we didn't necessarily know this when we planned collectively the service and the scripture reading, but this psalm begins with a cry out to God about hurtful words from others, and the psalm ends with a cry out to God in worship for who God is despite others' bitter words. It's so cool, the psalmist comes full circle. God, those words are so mean, to God, I exalt you and lift high your glory. What a neat resolution is within this psalm. You're like, that's great, Pastor, but I am not internally resolved. There are people who say so many hurtful things to me, or just around in our words and in our world. Just look at what words have led others to do. We need this psalm desperately today. So now let's look more specifically and more holistically here this morning. I think we can all relate to being negatively affected by the hurtful words of others, as I mentioned in my introduction. Sure, we might feel out of touch with David in a lot of other respects, especially, like I said, if you've been with us recently. What's that, David? You're writing about being overthrown by an insurrectionist murderer's son vying to be the next king? Ha! That's Psalm 63, by the way, if you were with us just last week. That's what that was about. Sorry, Davy, can't relate. No son of mine is a murderer trying to kill me. Plus, I'm not a king anyways. What's that, David? Another psalm about enemy peoples broaching your borders and the difficulties you're having as king of the land with real armies breathing down your neck? That was a few Sundays ago, Psalm 60, if you're with us these Sundays. If not, I'll just catch you up. Sorry, Dave-o, can't relate. I don't wear a crown. I'm not in charge of armies. I got nothing. But us, perhaps you and me, regarding what Psalm 64 does say, you and me having people say mean words about us, maybe we have been perpetrators and have said some nice things or unfruitful things to others or about others. Us navigating in a world where unkind words are constantly in our ears and hurting our feelings. Check, please. Yep, I can fit that bill perfectly. I've been hurt by words quite a lot in my day. Now, quick parenthesis, if you, or this is a look in the mirror moment for me too, okay? If we are constantly being hurt by others' words, perhaps it might be worthwhile to take a good look in the mirror and see if there's anything in your or my character, in your or my actions that are bringing about these kind of words to you. Proverbs 27:6 says that it is faithful to receive wounds from a friend. That meaning out of correction and out of discipleship and out of loving rebuke. It is profitable for us and our witness to be receptive and reflect as to whether we are our own worst enemy. Why is everyone so mean to me? Well, maybe me is the common denominator in all of those friendships. Let's see. Could there be something in you or I that brings that about? But perhaps more on that for another day. Suffice it to say, Psalm 64 is a person who is hurt and who is being hurt, because hurtful words hurt. And these hurtful words are piercing and harmful and devastating in David the psalmist's life. Hurtful speech feels like a sharpened sword. Verse 3. Still in verse 3, like a marksman's arrows And it even says, hyphenated, bitter words. Verses 5 and 6, laying snares secretly, perfecting a shrewd scheme. Church family, friends, visitors, guests, are you ready for a really discouraging thing to hear? Yeah, you're like, no, this has already been such a downer of a message so far. Hang on, it only gets worse. Hurtful words that we know about said to us, they're stinging to us. True? Now, imagine all how much more hurtful are the words and schemes and snares that are said about us behind our backs that we never hear about. Some of you here have gone through immensely traumatizing things in your lives, brought on by the most vicious of spoken words. Hey, you know that saying, sticks and stones can break my bones, but words will never hurt me? That is a lie. Many of you know that deeply. Words, either spoken to you or about you, they've been devastating for you. Let me reassure you, if I could, now the encouragement, personally and anecdotally, ours, friends, ours is a shared experience of hurt. Many of us here in the church are fellows in this devastating journey. And those in church ministry as well, and especially, have shared experiences and are often the target of sharp and piercing attacks with words. Mine may not be the same circumstances as yours in hearing hurtful things that you may have heard or things that you may have gone through, but as closely as possible, I know what you've gone through. Both personally and especially with regard to Christ and Christian ministry, I have had some of the most vicious and heart-penetrating wickednesses said to me, about me, regarding me and my family. In fact, without getting into many details, it is not at all an exaggeration that in the early tenure of my ministry, even here at WinCC, if it were not for the grace of God and perhaps my own innocence and ignorance about pastoral ministry, gee, I thought, all new pastors must go through these kinds of vicious attacks when they roll up into a new town. Huh. All the same, if it were not for that sort of stupid innocence and the immense mercy and grace of God, my family and I could have easily been defeated by those vicious words that we have had to endure. Bitter and disgusting. Personally attacking, spoken, I would easily have been someone perhaps many of you would have never met because I would have quit. But by God's grace, we are here despite those vicious things that we hear. Hear. And every day moving forward, we need Psalm 64's resolution and conclusion to heal and find hope from bitter words piercing us so deeply, that we would not just sit in sorrow and defeat about others' deafening words, rather we would rise up with hope from among them. That is how this psalm ends. Again, you heard me say, it begins with a cry out to God and an honest reflection of how hurt I, the psalmist, we have been. And this psalm ends with extolling words back to God now of his glory. And so at verse 7 is, I think, the hinge verse of this passage. I encourage you to look with me at verse 7. And what's interesting is, I think, I didn't even necessarily put two and two together until maybe just now, but verse 7 may be the choice path that we go down so that we ourselves don't get stuck in that negative feedback loop of hurtful words and hurtful words and hurtful words again and again and again. Look with me at verse 7, because it's powerful. Verses 7 through 9 is where we get to, I should say, about God and His role when we are hurt with words. So in verses 7, 8, and 9, God shall shoot at them with an arrow. Suddenly they shall be wounded. He will make them stumble over their own tongue. All who see shall flee away. All men shall fear, for they shall declare the work of God, for they shall wisely consider His doing. Who is the one doing the doing in verses 7, 8, and 9? It is God. Precisely who is it that is enacting consequences on those who are assailing us? It is God. Precisely not us. Many of you have taken up a job description that is way above your pay grade. Vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord in Deuteronomy 32, 35 and Romans 12, 19. If someone says something snarky to you and you say something snarky back, ring, ring, God calling, He wants His job back. I'm not saying that God replies to ignorance, keyboard warriors on Facebook. That's not what I'm saying. But do you get the idea? God is the one to do God's doing. Leave retribution to God. Getting back at other people is not your job. It's not mine either. It is not our job to defend ourselves with our own voice. Psalm 64, 7 through 9 says that God defends and will bring the wicked words of the wicked tongues back down on their own heads. So He, Psalm 64, 8, so He, God, will make them stumble over their own tongue. When we clap back, all we do is just add to the noise. But when we shrink back and are still, then we let God take their words upon them. Friends, quit your job defending yourself. Know your role and let God do that work in His way and in His time. And so that might be the why in the road, the path up to us to take. Verse 7 through 9, God doing His work and not us doing God's job. And that very well may be how the psalmist gets led to resolution and to worship. Verse 9, it says, we shall fear, meaning have humble and patient and awesome reverence for God. And verse 10, we should be righteous and upright, and be glad in the Lord and trust in Him, extol, like use our words to give God glory, not for just returning hurtful, arrow, bitter words back at others. Perhaps this Sunday morning, you may want to come back from your cul-de-sac of bitter words to bitter words, from bitter words back to bitter words, and maybe go down the path of trusting God, having fear and reverence for God, and worshiping God, using words, your words, for a better purpose. Because we're not to fight fire with fire. We are to be reverently fearful of God and obey uprightly in humbleness and trust. Words, words, words. This world is filled with all kinds of words. And honestly, many of those that swirl around us are mean. Many of those words that swirl around us are mean, bitter, ill-spirited, and hurtful. This morning, I invite us all to be moved by God's word about how we are to deal with this world's words. Psalm 64, verse 9 and 10. All men, all women, by application as well, shall fear, shall declare the work of God. The righteous shall be glad in the Lord and trust in him. And all the upright in heart shall glory. Let God's words be the final word in our lives. Would you join me as we pray? Oh God, this is a scripture and a reality that is so important for us. It's what we need, oh God. We need your touch, like we have sung about. We need to rest and to trust in you. So God, I ask and pray that as we now sing a song to close this day, that this would instead really just open for us a new future, a new purpose, a new role, that we would give you, O God, your job back. We would instead rest and trust in you to do your work, that we ourselves could just live and declare your love for us, O God. And if others' words are hurtful, we would be able to have a rest and a resolution in you, that knowing that you've got us, you will take care of those who say harmful things. We are okay to just rest in you and trust in you. God, that's hard for some of us because trust in general is difficult. We haven't really been able to, many of us, trust very many because those who are close have been so hurtful. I pray instead, oh God, that you would show us how you are faithful to us, oh God. And we can trust in you.